just leftovers. The devil don't like to go, but how many knows he has to, right? Felt like a month or two since I've been up here, but I think it's just been 2 or 3 weeks. Let me put these glasses on where I can read y'all. Always me and Scotty at the end of the year start, you know, seeking the Lord a little more and asking him, God, is there anything that you want to speak to us or tell us about the upcoming year, you know, and things like that. And y'all heard what Scotty said the Lord told him. And I had told him that what I felt like the Lord was speaking to me, he said this year, and I believe he's talking to me in my personal life, you in your personal lives, and even in this church, he's going to direct, redirect, arrange, and rearrange. So don't forget that. Because how many knows you don't always know what's going on at the time God's doing it or why he's doing it. And it can be frustrating. Now I looked up some of these words just to, you know, we can all be on the same page of what they mean. So in the Webster's Dictionary, I looked up the word direct. I looked it up in a scripture too, but it really didn't say much about it. It says the word direct means to control or regulate the affairs of, to command or order, to tell someone the way, to cause someone or something to move in a given way, to cause something to move in a direct course, to supervise or instruct the performance of a job, to point or aim at, to show the right course, to conduct, to order, to instruct. And I thought, my goodness, I didn't know it meant all that. I looked up the word redirect, and it just simply means you do it again. You direct again. God may have you going one way or down one course, and he redirects you a different one or something. Now, Beth, if you'll put up Proverbs 3. The word arrange means to put in correct order or prosper sequence. I never thought about that. To prepare for something, to take steps to organize something, to put in order, to classify. Can you give me this scripture here in Proverbs 3? It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct. I thought, God, I forgot that word said direct until I read it this morning, thy paths. He says, in all your ways know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. That goes right along with our definition, right? Then Psalm 37:23. It says, the steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord when he delights in his way and he busies himself with his every step. That's the amplified definition of that. Now, some of y'all might not know. We're going to have to say things differently. Because say some of y'all have heard the stories for 20 years that we have. And when you hear them again, it's like, yeah, I done heard that. But I mean, there's people in this room right now, you've never heard one of our stories. So I can't take it for granted that everybody knows what y'all have been knowing and hearing for 20 years. So the title this morning is The Word of the Lord to Us for This Year. Now, some of you may not know and some of you do. Do you have to? We have these little calendars that I make up for everybody that goes to church here. You don't have to do it. You can do it. I would like for you to do it, but that's up to you. What it is that here on these Monday through Friday, we have chapters of the Bible that a majority, probably, maybe everybody in here, we read that chapter. Well, and that's good, because how many knows you need to read your Bible? Every day you need to read your Bible. So that's what that is. If you don't have one or would like to do it, it's on the table back there. Let's look at 1 Peter 2. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So that just that scripture there tells me when you get born again, you need the word of God if you're going to grow. And he says, desire it. It says, like newborn babies in the Amplified, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk that by it you may be nurtured and grow into completed salvation. So if they went for no other reason of reading the Word of God, that's a good one, right? Put us up, please, Romans 12. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word transformed, it means change. Kind of like a caterpillar. They make a cocoon and they come out a butterfly. That's how transformation means. It says, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, this is Amplified Version, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed. How many here, you want to be changed? You've been born again, but how many knows there's still a transformational change because your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, did not get born again. He goes on and he says, transform, change by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Put us up Luke 4:4, please, Beth. It says, and Jesus answered him, saying, this is when he was tempted by the devil over there. And Jesus answered, talking about the devil, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. Talking about natural food. We know everybody has to have it. Some of us get too much of it, but that's a different thing. But by every word of God. It says, and Jesus replied to him, it is written, man shall not live and be sustained by or on bread alone or natural food alone, but by every word and expression of God. Why am I reading you these? Because I'm trying to get you to see the importance of reading and studying God's word. I believe it was the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said to be instant in season and out of season. And I was thinking about that scripture this morning, and all of a sudden I had this thought. Be instant in season and out of season. What's that mean? It means be ready even if it seems like it's not your time. Golly bum, did that go over your head or did you get it? It means be ready. What's that mean? He goes on, he says, be ready to give an account, right? Listen, if you are full, much time people, they'd like it if you'd shut up. Why? Because the mouth speaks the abundance of the heart, the Bible says in Matthew, right? I believe it's chapter 12, somewhere around in there. Whatever is in your heart in abundance is going to come out your mouth. If you are full of the Spirit of God and you are full of the Word of God, when you get around somebody, it don't have to be your time. But when you're not full, it's not good. It's never your time when it is your time. There's been people here, and I've been doing this a long time. I've been a Sunday school teacher here, 2023, something like 21, 22 years. So I've been doing it a minute and a half, I guess, for all y'all younger that would say that. The older are like, what's a minute and a half? It means long time, a good while or whatever. And I forgot now why I was going to tell y'all that. But anyway, oh yeah, I now remember. Y'all going to have to help me. I got kind of bad thing going on for y'all that knows what I'm talking about. I about fell up here, out yonder, Wednesday. But anyway, been doing this a long time. And for, you know, all these years, we've had people that they come in, say the Lord led them here, you know, and that's great. I hope you did. And then before you know it, they're gone or they get offended. They move on or they just quit going to church or whatever it is. But over a period of time, how many knows my job as a minister is to reproduce myself? What I mean by that, and I'm not talking about my flesh or nothing, I'm talking about the things that God has put in me, I'm supposed to put them out, and there's supposed to be somebody there that receives them, will take up the baton and begin their race with it. See, just like Brother Brad, I remember one time, and I was surprised to see y'all here, but it's good. Scotty went up and wanted Brother Brad to pray for him, you know, and asked that God would give him a double portion of the anointing that is on Brother Brad, you know. Well, he did, you know, and all that. Well, after that, when we started this church, in case y'all ain't never noticed it, a lot, Brother Brad will say, how many knows? Y'all ever noticed him saying that when he's preaching? Scotty, after Brother Brad prayed for him, excuse me, in his preaching, he started saying, how many knows? And I'm like, what's he saying that for? How many knows? How many knows? What happened? Whatever anointing you will receive will become a part of you. And when you begin to mix anointings just like Elijah and Elisha. And let me tell you something. Anointings don't just come with a handshake or because I prayed for you. Anointings, to be mixed together, they go over a period of time. Why? God's not a God of decrease. God is a God of increase at all times. Increase in anointings. Mixing anointings together to where there's never been at a different time certain anointings. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like me. And y'all know why I say it. During COVID, I got real drawn to Ron Carpenter. Now, I'd listened to him before. You know, he's a minister, comes on TV out in California. But during COVID, you know, because we wasn't assembling together, I would go to the iChurch, you know, on Sunday mornings and all of that, listen to him during the week. Well, next thing I know, we start having church again, and I would say something, and y'all would kind of look at me like a cow at a new gate, and I'd be like, what is it that I say now? I can't think of it. Yeah, that's it. And I'd say, y'all ain't saying nothing. And I'd be like, I'd hear myself say that, and I'd be like, what's that? I don't say that. Where'd that come from? But I know where it come from, because I have been listening to Ron Carpenter, receiving what he had said, and he is anointing. He's becoming a part of me. Now, I probably could have did without that part. Maybe I should have got a softer part. But you get whatever you received. Y'all understand what I'm telling you? So over the years, in course of doing Sunday school, we've had people that they come, and you just know it. Me and Scotty would just know it. There's something about them. There's some kind of ministry on the inside. You can see it. You can tell it. You may not know exactly what it is. That's just like Johnny and Samantha. I don't know if y'all have noticed it, but you guys carry an anointing of family and unity that y'all bring to this part of the body like nobody else in this room. Y'all seen that? Felt that? Realize that? Now, we all may have it to some degree, but I ain't seen nobody have it like them two. And how many knows we need that? Number one, we're called the body of Christ. We're supposed to move as one man. We're supposed to be one spirit, right? One spirit with the Lord, one with each other. And the Bible talks about over there in, what is it, Psalm 133, somewhere around in there, that it says that God commands the blessing on unity. And we can't stand if we are divided, right? Y'all remember Jesus himself said that, that if the devil's divided against himself, he can't stand. Well, if we are divided against each other, we can't stand. We'll have bickering and chaos, and even if you don't say anything, you can feel it in the atmosphere when somebody got an attitude about you, right? That's why we got to make sure, I don't care what you do, I don't care if you just got through cussing your wife or husband out or beating your kids, when you get to that door back there, repent and come in here and do like God. Obviously, got me a little upset the other day. Anyway, we got it worked out, you know, and then the next morning, Aiden brought it up, of course. You know, their brother and sister. And he started bringing up, said, Grandma, you remember last night when Aubrey made you upset or mad or whatever? You know, I said, yes, I do, Aiden. I said, but we're going to be like God. And he's looking at me, and I said, God, when we asked him to forgive us, he forgives us, and he never talks about it again. He never brings it up again to us, right? So if we don't know how to do that, we better get it in gear knowing how to do that. Because this year, I believe, I'm telling you, I have a prophecy that Brother Adedola, y'all remember him? Few months ago, maybe. Anyway, this is probably, I've been living where I live 16 years. This has probably been 17, 18 years ago. I drug them all out first of the year last year and listened to all the prophecies and tapes that I've got. And one of the things that he said and that he prophesied about this church, he's talking about me and Scotty. He said, you guys, talking about the leadership, you will mold and make them, and then God said he's going to fill them. And I believe that this is the year. Y'all have been molded and made. And somebody said, amen. Can't even tell how many times you've had opportunity to be offended. Right? Oh, y'all getting real quiet. Y'all want to talk about that. I can feel it. Listen, I can't count how many times I have had opportunity to be offended here. You know, sometimes you get it in your head that leadership does what they want to. No, we don't. I tell you right now. If I ran this church, things would be differently. Unless Scotty's obeying the Lord and I obey the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Just because you're the leadership, just like parents. Parents don't get to just do whatever they want to. Are you kidding me? No. They got to go work all day and then come home and buy you some new shoes. You don't get to just do what you want to. You don't get to do what you want to in the kingdom of God. But anyway, the reason why I was saying all that is because we've had people here over the years that we have tried to pour into them, give them opportunity to minister. Because somebody knows, I used to work at a basket factory. You can watch me make a basket all day long. I can tell you how to make it. I can tell you, show you how you hold your knife to, because you got to trim that basket. And if you ain't careful, you just whack yourself right up. I can tell you that all day long. And you can see it and know it. But how many knows, once you actually get up there to that thing and you start making that basket, you're going to learn some things that I didn't tell you. Why? Because now you are going to experience. It's the same thing with ministry. I mean, they asked me at Faith Restoration to keep the nursery. I said, well, I'll pray about it. I'm a baby Christian. I don't know. You know, I don't know nothing other than I'm saved, you know, and I go to church and read my Bible. And then here they come ask me to do nursery, and I'm shy. I don't say nothing to nobody. If you want to talk to me, you'll have to come where I see it. Where Scotty, he just bounces everywhere, pops up like popcorn, you know, to the point I'm like, people's looking at us. Sit down. You don't got to testify every service. But anyway, so when they asked me to do that, they was like fear and trembling on the inside of me to keep the nursery, you know. Now, I don't have a problem beating nobody's kids or mine or whatever. No, you can't whoop nobody there. So anyway, I told him I'd pray about it. I went home, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I searched the scriptures looking for something to tell me yes or no, and I got absolutely nothing. Now I got to give them an answer, you know, whenever I go back. And so I thought, well, you know, I got a kid. I know, you know, how to change a diaper, give a bottle, or not let them fight, or whatever, you know. So surely I can do it. So I went to, Sister Teresa. I was going to say, what's her name? Sister Teresa, and she was over the nursery at the time, and told her, okay, I'll do it. But I'm talking, who knows, everything you do that God wants you to do, it's going to take faith to do it. Even when you have a knowing on the inside. Why? Because the devil's always going to be right there in your flesh telling you, you can't, you're not smart enough, you're not good enough. That's just like the first time I ever ministered in front of Brother Brad and Rondé. One time I was ministering doing Sunday school, Rondé goes to sleep back there. He had been on a revival, you know, for a week or two, and when he come in, I guess the poor man was just so tired, he fell asleep. If that ain't intimidating. I mean, I think first time I ministered in front of Brother Brad, you know, my knees were knocking, and I'm like, gosh, is this right? Is this right? Do I say this right? But you have to do it by faith, even though it's God, everything you do. So when I told him I would keep the nursery, I don't know it, but I'm using faith that God will help me. They needed me to. They asked me to. So I say, okay, and I don't know how long I kept nursery. Then after that, they come and asked me to teach the, I forget what age group it was. Some, I think, like maybe 8 to 10 or something other. The kids, you know, and I'm like, oh, gosh. Teach them what? Me with kids? Are you serious? That really takes God. Most time kids are usually scared of me, you know. They love Scotty, but they're scared of me. I don't know why. But anyway, why are y'all laughing? I'm serious now. My grandkids love me. If nobody else does, them too does. But anyway, they asked me to start teaching the kids. Same thing. Okay, I'll pray about it. I go home. I pray about it all week. I read the Bible. I can't find nothing. I go back to church and I say, okay, I'll do it. Why? Because, see, you also have to trust that the leadership that is over you loves you and is not asking you to do something just to fulfill a position. I know that happens and it's not right. That's like when me and Scotty first got saved. We knew somebody. They had a pastor to church that was close to us. And they came to us and they told us, you know, they knew we got saved and was going to church. We need y'all over here at our church, and we believe that God is going to send y'all over there. And I'm like, whoa, 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 buddy. I ain't got a thing about this. Because if I was going to leave my church, just the thought of it caused fear and trembling for me, because I loved my church. They loved me, and I knew it was God. And anytime I used to have this thing, because I didn't probably do everything I should at home. By Wednesday night, I'd become dragging in, think if I can just get to church and let Brother Brad pray for me, everything will be okay. I'm not going to leave that. Are you crazy unless the Lord tells me? The reason why I'm saying that was because they went on to say, we need a Sunday school teacher. Now, they weren't talking about me. They was talking about Scotty. I wasn't doing Sunday school at that time. And even Scotty himself, when the Lord said for me to do Sunday school, was like, God, are you sure? You know, so he can do whatever he wants and chooses to do if we'll work with him. But you have to trust that leadership over you, they love you. And a lot of times leadership sees things, senses things in you that you may not even see or sense in yourself. I had no clue that I was going to be doing Sunday school. I told Scotty, I said, listen, when he first told me he was going to open a church down here, I said, well, you can go ahead, buddy. I'm not going. Now, I didn't mean that in rebellion. But what I had saw, not at my church, but out of other Christians, a lot of people, not all, that they just run here and there and to and fro and then don't go and then they're over yonder, you know, and they're messed up and all this stuff. I'm not doing that. They led all the time. That just made me think of what you did this one. Brother Brad, one time when he was young in the Lord, and Brother Hebe was preaching, you know, and he was talking about being led by the Spirit. And he said, you can't just tell babies go be led by the Spirit. He said, they don't know what spirit, a pizza spirit, he said, whatever that is. You remember saying that? The things you never forget, huh? So you can't. But that's what leadership is supposed to do. They're supposed to hear from God, love you, you know, or the ones that are under them and seek God. And sometimes leadership might, and I'm not talking about just here, I'm talking to people all over the world. They may ask you to do something that you ain't never thought about or that maybe you don't feel like that's your thing. You know what I'm saying? But how many knows that may not always be your thing? But how many knows the nursery was training me for now? I've worked in the nursery for 23, which we don't have any little bitty kids right now. All this time down here, you would have thought I could have got promoted and moved on from that. But no, I still am in that at different times. Well, then the teaching the kids. I've had to teach the kids back here. At one point, I did Sunday school. Then I would go back there at 11 o'clock and do, I think all of them was in my class at that time. Plus, I had my three nephews back there at the time. So what God has you doing right now or has had you doing may not be your final destination. That's like Scotty, I was reminded this morning. Let me see if we need to read that next scripture first. Let me just go on with this. I was reminded this morning about Scotty. Now, we had been saved about, I'd say probably 3 or 4 months. Excuse me, possibly 5. We don't know nothing. We just love the Lord and we love our church and we try to be at church, you know, be faithful and stuff. Well, y'all heard about it, most of you. His first job was doing the slide things that we used to, Blake and some of them used to do. And then he got moved on to other things. Well, we're on our way to church one night. And we had never met this guy and didn't know he was going to be there. His name was Brother Smart at the time. Real sweet guy. And we're on our way to church and Scotty says, I got this thing in my heart. He says, I feel like I'm going to be a preacher. And when he said preacher, I thought, dude, are you kidding me? You a preacher? I know you. See, I don't know that new man though. And I don't know the plan of God. But God is revealing on the inside of him the beginning parts of his plan. He says, if I can get this out of my heart, I'm going to be a preacher. Now, the only thing he knows about a preacher is standing behind a pulpit and just screaming, hollering at everybody, pretty much. Brother Brad don't, but you know what I'm saying, the TV and all that stuff. That's really all he knows about in his thinking a preacher. Well, we get to church and everything, and Brother Smart's there that night, and we sit on the front pew. And we'd never met him before, and he comes over there, and he calls Scotty up there, and he tells him, he says, God said to tell you this thing that's in your heart is of him. And when he said that, I'm like, you've got to be kidding. And Scotty's like, I knew it, glory to God. He don't know what he knows, but he knew that was God. You know, well, lo and behold, Brother Brad's there. He hears it. Then Scotty goes to him, you know, and off everything. And before you know, Brother Brad starts taking him to the jail. If you come tell me you're a minister, that's a good place to take you. We're going to find out. Because them people ain't going to feed you no bull. They going to tell you just straight up. Well, anyway, he starts taking him to the jail. Well, he's been going to the jail for a good while before they ever give him the license, you know, because at the jail you're supposed to show him your little license card. Well, he don't have it, but they're still letting him go. Well, I was looked it up not too long ago. He had been saved 8 months when they licensed him. My point to all that is, You don't got to be saved 50 years for God to use you. All you got to do is love Him and go after Him and do at the time whatever you feel in your heart He's telling you to do. And you may not even know how to do it at the time. Well, lo and behold, he goes to the jail. Oh, he just loves it. It just thrills him to the bone. He comes home every service, you know, telling me about this one got saved, you know, or this one, I prayed for this one, or whatever happened at the jail, you know. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, that's good. I'm not interested. I don't care. Jail ain't for me. I've never had anything about the jail. Well, then before you know it, he gets this thing in his heart. The Lord's telling him, street ministry. He don't even know what that means. Listen, I'm not just rambling. I'm telling y'all for a purpose. Because I'm telling you, your lives this year is going to be directed, redirected, arranged, and rearranged. And you may not know what that means, but when he starts dealing with you, just follow him. Use your faith and just follow him. And like the scripture we said, trust in the Lord. Right? Trust him. That he's got your best interest at heart. He's got a plan for your life, but he's also got a plan for everybody else in the world, and his plan for you is connected to somebody else. Well, starts going to the jail and all that, just loves it. Then he gets this in his heart about street ministry. Oh, I forgot a part. Sorry. Anyway, after he's going to the jail and everything, then he's reading, I think it's over there in Timothy. Yeah, I know it is. Where Paul told Timothy, he said, do the work of an evangelist. Y'all remember that verse? When Scotty read that, do the work of an evangelist, it became rhema to him. It jumped out of the page. Why? Because God, that's what God's telling him. Do the work of an evangelist. What's an evangelist do? They just run around preaching everywhere they can. Right? Getting people healed, saved, or whatever. So then he gets that in his heart. Here we go, you know. Then he is, if somebody calls him to come preach at their church or whatever it is, he goes and he does it. Then he gets this in his heart about street ministry. He don't even know nothing about street ministry. He asks other people, well, how do you do street ministry? That goes back to what I told you, trust the Lord. He knows how to do it. But how many knows you're going to have to use your faith and exercise your patience that he tells you and you take a step and you don't know the next one. He tells you, you take a step and you don't know the next one. Most of the time, you don't get 10 steps ahead. Why? Because everything you got to, you can't please God without faith, and he desires to be trusted. That just, I mean, to have faith and confidence in him and trust in him, oh, he delights in it. Anyway, so he don't know how to do it. He's asked some people. They don't know how to do it. So lo and behold, he just goes down there and tells the guys down there, that parking lot beside McDonald's, what was that, the two outlet or something at that time? Alabama, two outlet. But anyway, he just goes in there and he tells that guy, the owner, he says, hey, he said, the Lord told me to come down here and do street ministry in this parking lot. And the guy tells him, no. And Scotty says, no, you didn't hear me. He said, the Lord told me to come down here and minister on the street on Friday nights. And the guy says, oh, minister. And he says, so then he lets him. Well, then Scotty, he gets this van and speakers and all of this stuff and pews and different things he can't. Sets them out there, and sure enough, here the people come. Had no idea. During this time that he's on the street, a lot of people would come, Christians from other churches, because it's on Friday night, you know. And then you got those that they don't go to church. Then you got those they're looking to leave their church because they're in rebellion and y'all ain't saying nothing. There's that Ron Carpenter again. But y'all ain't saying nothing. See, we can't just act like this stuff don't go on, because it does, and it's not right. And it's why a lot of people are so messed up, and they can't figure out why. Just like me. I mean, I get married at 14 years old. Guess who raised me? Me and Scotty. That's why I am so jacked up when I get saved. Bless her heart. I told him before, if you don't like the way I am, maybe you should have raised me different. That's all I can tell you. Because you, buddy, had a big hand in me being the way that I am. Anyway, back to what I was telling you. I'll get off on all that. So then he does the street ministry. What was that, some 3, 4 years? I don't know, remember how many years. And when it would get too cold, he would stop and then start up the next year. Well, during this time, you've got all these different kinds of people coming. Like I said, the rebellious, the ones that don't go to church, and they know they're supposed to. Listen, sinners know Christians should go to church. But then you got some Christians say, I don't got to go to church to be a good Christian. We're not talking about being a good Christian. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to be going to church. I don't care what you think or say. Read the Bible. But anyway, all that. Back to my story here. You've got all these different kind of people coming out there, and that some of them start telling him, you need to start a church. I believe Lord's told me, you need to start a church. You need to be a pastor. We'll come. We'll come. We'll support you and all this. And he's like, you might as well have been cussing. He ain't got nothing in here about being no pastor. And he told him, I ain't no pastor. Well, during this time also, there was a lady minister that he met when he was going to the jail. She went to the jail too for a long time. And she had built a new church up at, I don't know where, anyway, up north that way. And she told him, I want you to come over here and I want you to be co-pastor of this church, or be the pastor of this church, you know. He just told her, I'll pray about it. Well, he goes home, he prays about it, and the Lord says, no, absolutely not. Now, that looks good, Sandy. And if he's led by the flesh, you'll jump on that if you want the position. You ain't got to pay your dues and go through all this crap and just, boom, now you're going to pastor a church. God said no. So he told her no. And then he still got these people on the street telling him, you know, oh, if you're up for church, we'll support you. That's not the plan of God yet. But see, we don't know that's coming up. So he goes from having this preacher thing in his heart to the Lord saying, do the work of an evangelist, to do jail and street ministry, to one day he said, start a Bible study. I mean, this place was a wreck. Y'all think it's messed up now? It was a wreck. So back there in the food room that we have, that was boxed in, and he started a little Bible study there. Sandy come and brought her daughter-in-law and a couple ladies from the project houses over here. And they come, you know, and different stuff, and that went on for a while. I don't remember exactly how long. Then, before you know it, God says, open a church. So he says, okay, Lord. He was down here. He gets in his truck. He gets to the stop sign. Some of y'all heard the story. God, okay, God, I'm going to ride around Bluntsville and just let you direct me, you know, what building or what is it you want, where you want me to do this at and all that. He gets to the stop sign, and God says, use what you got. And he's thinking, good Lord, they ain't nobody going to come over there, God. We didn't even have a bathroom. We didn't have no water meter here. I mean, we're having Bible study, and if you got to use it, you got to go to, we told them. Sorry, I told y'all, y'all go ahead. But as long as I can flow out of my spirit, it can bypass the head, right? So I don't have to have the head, just have the spirit. So anyway, starts the Bible study, starts doing that and everything. Finally, we get a water meter put in. I think it was $300 or something, you know, or whatever. And God tells me, start a church and use what you got. And then he tells me, and I'm like, whoa, buddy, I ain't got a thing about that. I am not going. And I didn't say that. I've got fear. Understand what I'm telling you? I've seen people run around everywhere, and they're messed up, and they're led off by the flesh into this ministry and that ministry, and they will need me at this church, and they need me at that church. I don't go for all that. If God don't tell me to do something, or, like I said, leadership over me that I trust is telling me something, that's like one time an elder at our church, we was done down here. I feel like I'm rambling, but I'm not, am I? Anyway, I'm trying to be late. Are y'all keeping up with all these stories? Anyway, we was done having church down here, and the elder come, and they told me, they said, when you go start ladies' meetings? I said, when the Lord tells me. He said, well, I've done told you once or twice. He said, I have nothing about that, and when you say it, it's just, I can't do something because you think I need to. You can't do something just because I think you need to. But at the same time, we still have to be open because you don't know what's coming up. Just like we didn't know this church was coming up. Anyway, he tells me, I done told you. I said, well, like I said, when the Lord tells me to. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I can't run no ladies' meeting every month on what you say. I got to get something about it. So anyway, then lo and behold, God says, start the church. Got $300 from where he was evangelizing, you know, and he saved his offerings or whatever. And they even stole his offerings sometimes. Sometimes we would put more in the offering than what they gave him. You think that stuff don't happen, but it does. And when it does, that's like Scotty, the first time it happened. they didn't have cell phones or anything then, so he's going to wait till we got home, and then he was going to call her, and he's going to tell her, listen, you lied to the people. You got up there and told the people we're going to take up this offering for Brother Scotty. Now let's bless him. But this person's in the middle of a church building project at the time. Y'all better be careful. Why? You better check your motives about everything. Because you can have a wrong motive. But how many knows when you start checking and you look down in here, not here, but down in here, you know whether it's right or not. Right? You got the Word, you got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Anyway, to go on with the story, he gets home and God says, I thought you said you'd preach for free. He said, well, Lord, I did, but she lied. He said, what's that to you? He wouldn't let her call him. Ain't nothing to you. You be done wrong, suck it up and do right. Ain't that the Bible? Paraphrasing. I mean, it don't say suck it up, but y'all know what it says, right? Most of you anyway. You know, why? Because you're going to go through things. You're going to be done wrong. You may be done wrong by people that's leadership or your bosses or different things like that. But how many knows we're called to be done wrong, but still do right? And how many knows when you do, your light shines? So anyway, now to my story here, to me, that does almost absolutely nothing. I don't think anybody ever saw anything in me, did they, Brother Brad? Did you ever see any? You did? Well, you didn't tell me about it. I don't know what you saw. Scotty didn't see nothing. He says he did. That goes back to, I told you leadership might see something in you that you don't. But I always had this desire on the inside of me. And I would pray and I would cry because Scotty's your big evangelist. And he stands up, testifies, and people just hoop and holler and they clap, you know. And I can't remember his name now. He's on the name of the Lord. Brother Al. I've got him on tape one time because another brother, he would tape the services over there. Paul, that was his name. And he would give them to us. You know, I can hear Brother Al on that tape, and he said, that Brother Scotty's got it, don't he? I thought, yeah, he's got it all right, but you don't know what he's got. Why? I'm still looking at him in the natural. I was having to grow, like they said about Jesus. We say no man after the flesh anymore, you know. But anyway, back to me. I always felt on the inside this calling, this drawing to the church. And I didn't know what that meant. And Scotty, he's a big evangelist. Everybody thinks he's just great. And most time I wouldn't go with him, but when I would, you know, that's, oh, I bet it's just wonderful being married to him, ain't it? And I thought, are you serious? His socks still stink too. No, y'all getting the gift, I get the feel. No, it's not just wonderful all the time being married to him. So I always kind of felt like I stood in his shadow. And I would pray and I'd say, God, don't you have something for me? Don't you have something for me, God? And yeah, he does. Nursery, kids, all the stuff I don't want, you know. Because I'm thinking, don't you have something? And I feel this calling to the church. You know, and he's going to the jail, and oh, it just fires him up. He thrills him, you know, and I'm not interested in that. Well, this one day, we're on our way home from church. Nobody at church had said anything about it, just it was anointed, it was good, and we're talking. Usually we got 40, 45-minute drive home. We talk about the service and the Lord, you know, and don't just hear what you hear and go out those doors and forget about it. We went over that in what, Mark 4, Matthew 13, and Luke 8. The attention that you give to what you hear. You ain't going to give no attention if you hear it in here, hit the door, and forget about it. So therefore, you won't be a doer of the word, and you won't get no result. But you're still going to church every week hearing. But anyway, I'm not going to get off on all that yet. So anyway, I'm praying all that stuff, and we're on our way home from church that day, and we're just talking about the Lord and the service and all this, everything, and all of a sudden right here, I could feel it. It's coming up like this. And it's joy. And it's the jail. And I told Scotty, I said, oh my goodness, I got something in my heart. I want to go to the jail. I said, can you believe this? I'm shocked. I want to go to the jail. It's just like, oh, if I could just get to the jail, that would just be great. And you got to remember now, I'm shocked. Jail don't thrill me, don't got nothing. I ain't going to no jail. I'd be in the jail. Why? Because you smart me up, I'm going to punch you in your mouth. So I can't go to the jail. You know, I'm not okay. I can't go to the jail. I can now, but anyway. Anyway, I start having this great desire. And I know it's not here because here is like, are you kidding me? No way. I don't want to go to the jail. But I got it in here. And I'm telling Scotty on the way home, well, lo and behold, this thing will not leave me alone. And it's just like a joy when every time I think about going into the jail ministry. So I go down there to Blount County, you know, and I felt like it was Blount County. I go down there, you know, and do all you have to go through to go get into ministry to the jail. Well, lo and behold, here I go. And there was a lady that was going to the jail, but I didn't know it. I didn't know her. I didn't know anything about anything. So I go to the jail, you know, and the lady that was going had just stopped going. And I didn't know it. But anyway, I go in there. The first service that I go in there and that I have, there's this lady. Her name is Jean. She's lost as lost can be. We said, some of us, we sat down at the table, you know, and there's always a ringleader in there somewhere. But anyway, we all sat down at this table. Anyway, the Lord starts ministering and everything. And to make a long story short, I pray with her, she gets born again. Well, in the process of me going, you know, a couple weeks longer, she gets sentenced to Tutwiler, so she's not there anymore. Then you got this other girl. She's in there for murdering a guy that I went to GED school with, so they said, or whatever. Well, she's the ringleader. She runs the pot in there. And so a few weeks go by, and she starts sending these notes out. We don't want us here, the church lady, today. That's what they call me, the church lady. Anyway. And the door got closed. Well, lo and behold, I don't know what's going on, and I don't have the desire no more. Go to church. I didn't know it, but the lady that was going to the Blount County Jail at the time is at our church. And I didn't know her or anything. And she stood up. She testified or got called up there to the front. I don't know how that went. Anyway, she's up front. And she's testifying that she was going to the Blount County Jail, but she had to quit. God had moved her on. But the lady that was coming to replace her was going to be about 3 weeks to a month before she could get moved over here and take over. Do y'all get what I'm saying about that whole story? I wasn't called to the jail, I thought. And I wasn't called for long. All I was a feeling. Why? Because Jean's over there and she wants Jesus. I'm not called to the jail. My whole thing is always, my entire life, about the church. I feel called to the church. But lo and behold, I mean, if you're a Sunday school teacher, you don't preach on the street. The ones I get usually are already saved, so y'all are ready for me or whatever. But see, that little sliver of time. Now, to make a long story short, later, something happens. Jean, the lady that I led to the Lord or prayed with, comes. She gets sent back to Blount County. I don't know how she gets the number. She calls Scotty's brother, Glenn, want me to come back to the jail. I can't go back to the jail. The door's closed. He says he opens doors. Okay, no man shut. Could nobody shut that door for me when God opened it. I didn't open it. People didn't open it. He opened it. What's he say? He'll leave the 99 and go for the one. He changed, rearranged, redirected my entire life for about a month for her. After that, I've never had anything in my heart about going to the jail scene. Why am I telling you all these things? Because I know what God is saying. This year, he's going to direct. You may think what you're doing or have been doing, and it's already started. In case y'all don't know, Sandy's not going to be ministering to the youth anymore. Now you could say, well, that's backing up, ain't it? She just don't want to, does she? Well, mind your own business. Because if you ain't careful with that, you'll start judging, and that's going to get you a whole heap of mess. If he wants you to know something about it, he'll tell you. Otherwise, that's between Sandy, the Lord, and her leadership, right? Because I've heard stories about people that they would be doing something, I mean, a lot of ministry, and all of a sudden, I think Joyce Myers is one of the ones that said it. And it was like, I think for a solid year, God removed her from there and put her on a shelf, and she did nothing far as ministry-wise, other than, you know, minister to her co-workers or whatever. He may put you on a shelf and leave you for a while, but if he does, it's because you better be getting prepared for the next phase of what he wants you to do. Don't always take that as something's wrong. Sometimes it happens because something's right. Just like this, I'm fixing to stop. I only got a couple minutes, and we didn't do all this. That's the story, ain't it? Y'all coming back, right? Surely to goodness, y'all Christians are coming back. Anyway, That's like y'all be praying for Zach. Zach has said he wants to take over and be the drummer up here. Well, guess what? I'm fine with that. I've been telling people for a while now, I'm looking for somebody to replace me, you know, and sometimes they'll be like, oh, yeah, me too. I wish somebody would do this. I've been no, you don't get it. That's not my reason. I've been doing this since I was 37 and had no clue what I'm doing. I'm 52 now, you know. But for one thing, I have to reproduce myself because I'm not always going to be here. You know what? I'm going to die or fly one day. So somebody's got to take over or there ain't going to be no drummer. Y'all getting way too quiet about this. I didn't say you're going to be the drummer. Zach says he wants to be. But guess what? That'll be up to Zach and God. Why? There's a process you got to go through. What did Direct say? One of the things it said to lead somebody, or direct somebody in a job or whatever, you don't start a new job and they just throw you in there and say, here, do it. Do they? You don't even know what you're doing. Why? Because they want you to do what they want you to do exactly the way they want it done. So they're going to show you. They're going to train you. So y'all be praying for Zach. He needs all the prayers you can get. I told him, I said, this is probably going to be one of the hardest things you've ever done in your life. And he's like, oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. I've been up here 20 years nearly. The stuff. When you work on a song for 4 weeks and you learn it exactly like they say, like it's played, and you get up here and you start playing it, and Travis turns around and says, don't play that like that. Fire's going to hit you in the top of your head. I know what I'm talking about. And he's my son. I don't have to do what he says. But up here I do. Why? Because when it's this, it's place. You understand what I'm telling you? Just like home, it's place. It's not because Scotty's smarter than me. Are you kidding me? He's not. But he's head. You hear what I'm telling you? I'm serious. He's head. It's place. So anyway, Travis, don't play that like that. And I said, well, it's the only way I play, blah, 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 whatever. I said, then he said something to me, and I don't remember what he said. And then he says, you gone. Play it like that. And a little attitude in there, I felt like. And when he said that, that hit me. And I wasn't really working on my love walk like I should have been at the time. It's a wonder he didn't get a stick in the ear. But anyway, that hit me. And I'm looking down when he said it. And when he said that, I said, I don't have to do nothing. And I looked up, and Monty and April were staring at me. They're on this, April's on this side at the time. And when I looked up, and they're staring at me, I said, except the best I can. And then I went on and had to fight, stick in the ear the whole rest of practice not to let that out. So it's probably going to be the hardest thing you ever done. But it's going to be good and it's doable, right? And it's going to be good. I told him, I said, listen, if you take your God-given ability and talent that he's given you and what you already know of, what, 2 or 3 years of music training, drumming and all that, which is different when you play up here. It's not the same. And all of that, and you mix that with my wisdom and my experience and what you got, you will be one kicking drummer. But if you don't mean it wasn't God. So anyway, to encourage you, you're going to get directed, redirected, arranged, and rearranged, and it don't always feel good. But then sometimes, boy, it feels real good. I've got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything they would like to share, anything or comment down these lines? Or the Lord spoke something to you that would be needful to say now or whatever?